This week our scripture comes from James chapter 3. Listen to what James has to say in verses 13 through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Rachel and Hunter, thank you. Thank you for leading and guiding us this morning in worship. Last week I shared from Proverbs chapter 1 about wisdom and Lady Wisdom. And Lady Wisdom calling out to us, asking us to listen, asking us to heed and take knowledge and apply it. This week I want to share from James chapter 3. He speaks an awful lot about wisdom in his book, and I want to remind you, some of you may say, well, I don't have wisdom. And I just want to remind you that in the very first chapter of James, James says, if you don't have wisdom, ask God, and God will bring it to you. So as you think about what I share about wisdom today, and if you can identify, that's not how I feel about this, it's not how I think I am, just know, all you got to do is ask God, and God delivers wisdom. And I would encourage you too, before you sit down to read your scriptures, God, bring me wisdom to understand what's here. Bring me wisdom. You see, James calls for us to examine the characteristics of how we live wisdom. James calls for us to examine the characteristics of the wisdom that we have. And in this passage, James is going to tell us that there's two kinds of wisdom. There's the wisdom that you don't want, is what James is going to talk about first. And the wisdom that we really desire and need in order to walk the life that God has for us. James is calling us to examine ourselves, and I hope that you spend some time occasionally, maybe every day, examining. How have you walked your Christian walk today? What have you experienced? And how can I be more like Jesus Christ and display the incredible wisdom of God? This is what James is really calling people to do. Look at who you are, and look at how you interact in the midst of this world. The very first wisdom that James talks about is earthly wisdom. There is a such thing as earthly wisdom. And James says that earthly wisdom is applying knowledge with self-interest and a desire to have more than others. That's earthly wisdom. Earthly wisdom is applying knowledge. Remember, I told you that wisdom is taking the knowledge that you have and knowing how to use it in your life. Knowing how to apply it, the lessons that you learn from Scripture, and knowing how to use that in your life. But earthly wisdom does it with self-interest. And it does it with a desire to have more than others. It's, what can I get out of things? How can I get one step up on other folks? How can I have more material things than other people? How can I look better than someone else? That's earthly wisdom. When you take knowledge and apply it in that way to take one more step for yourself, it's wrong. It's earthly wisdom. Matter of fact, James even goes on to say, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly. And listen to the words that he uses. It's earthly, it's unspiritual, and it's demonic. If you are using the knowledge that you have to try to get ahead in life over everyone else, that's demonic. That's unspiritual. That is very earthly. And we need to be very careful about that, because I know our society teaches us that I got to get what I can get. People aren't going to serve it to me, and I got to grab what I can grab. But when it centers upon self, it's sinful. When it centers upon self, it's sinful. When it centers upon having something better than everybody else around me, it's sinful. That's not the kind of wisdom that we're looking to demonstrate in our lives. And James even takes a step further. And he says that when this earthly wisdom exists, then disorder and evil practices are present. I want you to take just a moment and maybe think about an organization that you know. Maybe think about a situation that you've heard in a civic organization or some other club. Maybe think about some of the stories you've heard about what's happened in the midst of churches. When earthly wisdom exists there and people are trying to get one up on everybody else, does not the organization fall apart? Does not the organization have problems because people are trying to one-up each other? Does not the organization have problems gaining new members? Who wants to be part of a club where everybody's trying to one-up each other? Who wants to be part of a club where everybody's trying to be king of the hill? Doesn't disorder begin to happen there? Doesn't hard feelings begin to happen? If we're taking what knowledge we have and we're applying it towards being the king of the hill, it will cause problems. It will cause disorder. It will cause evil things to be happening. Because once that begins to happen, then people side on this side or the other side, don't they? I'm going to support the king of the hill. I'm going to do what I can to help the king of the hill, because if I stand close enough to the king of the hill, I'll get some benefits. Now, what is that about? That's about self, isn't it? And the people on the other side are fighting against the king of the hill because what? They want to elevate their position. There's a real true thing that happens in this country. And it's evil. It is absolutely evil. People get this thought and this understanding that I can't be better than I am unless I can make somebody else look less than me. Isn't that true? I can only get better if somebody else looks worse than me. And then what we end up doing is we end up picking sides, and we end up looking at the people on the other side as demonic. And once we do that, we decide that they're not people anymore. And we decide that we don't have to listen to them because they're not following right. They're not supporting me. They're not helping me. You see, this even happens in Scripture. In Scripture, it's talked about time and time again where the Israelites only feel like they can look good when they make another nation look bad. That's earthly wisdom. That is earthly wisdom. Somebody else does not have to look bad for me to look good. Somebody else does not have to look that way. Somebody else does not have to lose benefits. So that I can gain status. Do you agree with that? That's earthly wisdom. And that's what's going on in our country. What's happening in the midst of our country is that people are making other races look bad, other neighborhoods look bad, other ideas and positions look bad. Because if I spend time making that look bad, then I know I can be elevated because I'm right. Folks, that's earthly wisdom. It's causing division. It's causing disorder. It's causing evil practices to happen. That's disorder. And God is not a God of disorder. Paul writes that in his letters. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Now, as opposed to that, godly wisdom has 8 strong characteristics which seek to build a peaceful community. Godly wisdom seeks to build a peaceful community. A community that works together, not a community that doesn't have discussions, not a community that doesn't have debates, not a community that doesn't have different ideas in it. That's not what peaceful means. Peaceful means a wholeness, a completeness in that community. You see, this earthly wisdom is about dividing and conquering. It's about one-upmanship. It's about being king of the hill. That's earthly wisdom. It's disorder. It's pushing people apart. And we have so many people in our country doing that. Pushing people apart. Earthly wisdom. I sat down this morning and looked through my notes and looked through this scripture, and then I turned over to look at the news. And about all I found was earthly wisdom. It's about dividing and conquering. That's not a kingdom idea. Godly wisdom has 8 strong characteristics which seek to build peaceful community, drawing people together. Peaceful meaning a wholeness, a completeness, where the community works better together. There's no king of the hill. There's no one-upmanship. There's no I got more than you. It's about supporting each other. It's about encouraging one another. I want to look at the 17th verse. Because it has listed these 8 characteristics. And I want you to see them again. I know you saw them once as I read them, but we're going to step through these. And we're going to look at what are these things. But wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. It's first of all pure. What does that mean? For me, it means that it's God-centered. And it has God's desire in mind. It's centered on God's vision and God's will. It's centered on what God wants in the midst of this world. And what is the overarching thing that God wants in the midst of this world? For people to be saved. For people to be saved. For people to come to Jesus Christ and know Jesus Christ and what He did for them on the cross. And to also understand that the tomb is empty and that God has victory over death, that we can have salvation and eternal life. That's God's overarching desire for all the world, for every person. I have found in my ministry, I don't need to center upon the fact that people are sinners. I don't need to beat them down first. Because so many of them already know, and deep inside they wish and hope and desire that God will accept them somehow. They know they're sinners. They know they're lost. I found that's not the major point of emphasis. The major point of emphasis is that God wants to redeem you. God wants to recreate you. God wants to renew you. God wants to give you new birth. A new way. Pure. Centered upon God's purposes. Not mine. Not yours. But centered upon God's desire that we help people come to Jesus Christ. Pure, God's desire in mind. And James says that must happen first. You must decide first that you're going to be only about God's will, only about God's vision. You can't build a peaceful community if we're not centered upon God. Because if you try, at some point in time, that one-upmanship is going to take over. And somebody's going to be grabbing for more than everybody else. If you don't keep it centered upon what God wants in this world. The second thing is peace-loving. Yes, this does include absence of conflict. But it also includes, peace-loving includes, that I want the very best for you. I want you to be fully, completely, wholly the person that God wants you to be. That's peace-loving. I want you to understand every resource that God has for you, every benefit that God has for you, so that you can be whole and complete, not missing anything, knowing God richly and deeply, peace-loving, considerate. I don't know if I need to expound upon this much. Because every day we can open up the newspaper or watch the news and find people that are not being considerate of others. Not being considerate. Not taking into consideration other people. Their needs, their desires, their wants. And not being considerate of what they need or of their position. It does not mean that I need to agree with their position. But I need to be considerate. I grew up in a time and an age, and some of you before me, where no matter who your elder was, you respected them. No matter what they wanted, whether you agreed with them or not, you were considerate of that, weren't you? If you didn't think that's the way it should be, that's okay, but you were considerate around them. And you respected them. Our society has lost this consideration for others. And it's all about what I want, what my desire is, what I think is best for me. Isn't it? You can't tell me what to do. That's not being considerate. That's not being considerate at all. I can disagree with you, but I can still sit down and talk with you. And I can take into consideration what I need to. Because let me tell you this, folks. As a Christian, if you're not considerate of the other person, you will not get an opportunity to tell them about how Jesus Christ can save them. You can talk until you're blue in the face about how Jesus Christ can save them, but if you're not considerate of them, they're not going to listen. I've found you got to listen to other people first and then share about Jesus. So where are you spiritually? Let them share. Consider what they have found to be a truth in their life. Consider where they are at the moment. I always find it quite funny when somebody knocks on my door at home to get me saved. I just want to look at them and say, you know what? You didn't take a moment to find out where I was spiritually, did you? They just automatically assumed that I'm not saved. And they speak to me that way. That's not considerate. Folks, we need to do the same thing with other folks. That's heavenly wisdom. The next word is a word that our society does not like. And that has been a word that has been battled over for years. Submissive. Humble. Submissive. People are like, I'm not going to do that. It has particularly entered into theological discussions where people misuse the scripture in Ephesians chapter 5. See right here, it says wives are to be submissive to their husbands. Guess what? It doesn't say that in the Greek. Go back one more verse, chapter 5, verse 21. And it says we should be submissive to each other, talking to both men and women. And then it gets to the sentence about, and women should be also. In the Greek, it doesn't use the word submissive in that sentence at all. The understanding is applied from the sentence before that, that we should be submissive to one another. This is not just an attribute for women. This is an attribute for women and men. Being submissive, being humble, coming in with meekness. Meekness is not cowardice. Meekness is knowing and understanding your position and coming in humbly, not demanding and a person of authority. Submissive. Heavenly wisdom is submissive. It's humble. It comes in a position of meekness. I I found throughout my years that when you try to share a bit of wisdom with someone, there's a lot of times they're not going to listen anyway. If you don't believe me, ask any parent. Amen? As a parent, the older your child gets into the teenagers, the dumber you get. And you got no wisdom, and you don't understand. And then somewhere between age 25 and 30, all of a sudden you're wise again. I wonder how that happens. I have found that when you try to share wisdom with people, they're not always going to listen. So don't belabor the point. Don't try to drill it into them. Don't try to push it deep into them. Let the wisdom sit there and exist. And what happens is eventually they hear it. But if you try to belabor it, if you try to push it in, if you try to beat it in, what happens? You drive them away and they don't listen. So heavenly wisdom is full of mercy. You know how to define mercy, don't you? Not getting what you deserve. If we're going to display wisdom, we need to not press upon people what they deserve. We need to give them a break. We just need to share wisdom and let it sit there. You ever had an aha moment? That moment where you heard something days ago? Ah, I just got it. You ever had one of those moments? Maybe we need to show that kind of mercy and let somebody have an aha moment. Instead of creating division and disharmony, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Impartial means I come without judgment. And I share the wisdom. And I try to help people. You see, when James puts all these characteristics together, he says in verse 18, then, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Folks, heavenly wisdom is about building community, is about supporting and encouraging one another. It's about lifting each other up. It's about calling and talking to someone. It's about writing a note. It's about letting them know that you prayed for them. It's about saying, this is what I've prayed for you for. It's about coming up alongside somebody and tell me where you hurt so I can pray for you. It's about giving them the understanding of the gospel, but not drilling it into them. Not beating them about the head and shoulders because they don't get it. It's about being peaceful. I'll never forget one street corner, and I wonder if it's still the same. It's a street corner in Norfolk, Virginia. That's N-O-R-F-O-L-K, for those of you that don't understand my accent. Every Friday and Saturday night, and maybe the church still does it, but they were doing it in the late 80s, and doing it before that, I know. They physically have boxes that folks stand on with a Bible in their hand, yelling and screaming at people at the stoplights, telling them they're going to go to hell if they don't get their lives right. Every Friday and Saturday night. And if you glance in their direction in any way, they're going to come right to the window of your car and yell it at you. I personally think that's not a way to help people understand God's love for them. That's not using heavenly wisdom, godly wisdom. That's not being respectful of the other person. Because they never ask you if you're saved. They just yell and scream at you, telling you you're going to hell. I pray they're not still doing that, because I think it drives more people away than it's ever going to get people into the kingdom. Folks, are we being a peacemakers? In a country that's seeking to divide us in every way possible, are we seeking to be peacemakers? Are we seeking to use heavenly wisdom instead of earthly wisdom that's trying to gain control, gain authority, gain one-upmanship, king of the hill? Which kind of wisdom are you using? When godly wisdom exists, then peace and righteousness abound in the community. When godly wisdom exists, then peace and righteousness abound. I'm willing to say that churches split because they're not using godly wisdom. I'm willing to say that even organizations have problems and lose members because they're not using godly wisdom. And I'm willing to take that one step further and say families have problems because they're not using godly wisdom. Are we working to be peacekeepers? What kind of wisdom have you been using in your life? James defines for us very well, I think, the two types of wisdom. So I want to ask you to think about this question. Do you live godly wisdom, bringing people together in community? Are you bringing people together in community with the type of wisdom that you're using? That's God's desire. That's God's overarching desire for everybody in the world, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done. That's God's desire. Bringing people together in community in the kingdom of God, knowing that Jesus Christ died for them, and knowing that they have salvation and eternal life. That should be the end result of our godly wisdom. Are you using that kind of wisdom? Drawing people together in community. Let's pray. Lord, this truly is not an easy thing, especially in the midst of a country right now that seeks to divide and conquer, that seeks to push down the other side and show that it's wrong, and sometimes doing that without showing how they're right. Lord, help us to be your people, bringing godly wisdom into the mix of everywhere that we go, being centered first upon you and your will, being about peace-loving and being considerate being willing to be submissive and humble, being full of good mercy and wonderful fruit, and being impartial and sincere, so that we might draw people to you, Lord, by the way we live our lives. Stop us quick when we use earthly wisdom. Show it to us soon, that we might turn from it and turn to use your wisdom, which James says, if we don't have it, all we got to do is ask. Lord, please, help us to draw people together, not to push people apart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.